Okay, let's dive into something truly strange today. We're going back to April 1987, Fagetville, North Carolina.
Ah, the Emily Carter case. It's one that sticks with you.
Right, a teenager, Emily, vanishes, just gone from her locked bedroom.
No forced entry, nothing disturbed, no witnesses. Classic locked room scenario, almost.
Almost.
Yeah.
Except for the rather large detail that the room itself, well, it shouldn't have existed.
That's the crux of it, isn't it? The official house blueprints, they showed a closet, just a simple closet, right where Emily's fully furnished bedroom actually was.
A whole room,
Yeah.
lived in, posters on the wall, bed, desk,
Yeah.
all of it.
Yeah.
Completely off the records, like finding a secret level in a video game, but, you know, in reality.
And not just any room. The reports, the descriptions we have, they mention something physically impossible.
Yeah, the dimensions, right?
I
People who
know.
went in said it felt, well, bigger on the inside than the outside walls would allow, bigger than the hallway it supposedly opened off of.
Exactly. Which immediately flags this as something beyond a simple construction error or an unrecorded renovation. We're bumping up against basic spatial logic here.
And there was that engineer who investigated early on. He mentioned physical sensations.
Yes, that's a fascinating detail. He reported pressure in his ears, like when you change altitude quickly,
Huh.
and a low frequency hum or vibration, something you felt more than heard.
So, not just a visual anomaly,
Yeah.
something active, maybe.
It certainly suggests an ongoing phenomenon, perhaps some kind of energy field or spatial distortion. It adds this physical layer to the mystery that's hard to ignore.
Okay, so this brings us to the theories. Because you have this impossible room, the weird sensations,
Yeah.
what could possibly explain it? First thought, maybe. Maybe just the glitch. Like reality itself just hiccuped right there.
The glitch in the matrix idea, essentially, a localized distortion in space-time. It's highly speculative, obviously, but it could account for the spatial weirdness.
And the blueprints not matching, that would fit too, right?
Yeah.
If reality itself was briefly
Yeah.
wrong, the plans wouldn't reflect it.
Precisely. The map wouldn't match the territory because the territory itself was temporarily malfunctioning, for lack of a better term.
But why a bedroom? Why not just empty space or chaos?
That's the sticking point for the glitch theory. Why manifest as something so specific, so coherent, even if geometrically impossible? It feels intentional almost, which leads to other ideas.
Like maybe an interdimensional thing, a breach.
That's another avenue. The idea that our dimension momentarily, or perhaps partially, intersected with another right at that location.
For Emily's room could have been sitting on the boundary or pulled into it.
Potentially. Or maybe the room was the boundary, a sort of overlap zone. The strange dimensions could be a result of blending different spatial rules, you know?
Okay, hold that thought. Because then there's the photo. The detective took an analog picture, old school film.
Yes, crucial detail, the analog nature, not digital.
And what came back wasn't the room. It was just blackness, an empty void.
An empty, dark, seemingly endless void. That's how it was described. Captured on film where a physical room stood moments before.
With. Wasn't there something else? A shadow.
In one corner, yes, a shape described as being vaguely human-like, just a shadow in the emptiness.
How does an analog camera even do that? It captures light if the room was there lit.
Exactly. It implies either the light wasn't behaving normally, or the room itself underwent some fundamental change the moment the photo was taken, or maybe the film captured something the human eye couldn't perceive.
So, going back to the interdimensional idea, could that void, that shadow, could that be a glimpse of the other side, caught in the act of overlapping?
It's a chilling possibility. The photo might have captured the breach itself or a residual trace of whatever exists in that connecting dimension. The shadow, who knows? An entity, an echo.
Okay, possibility three. What if it wasn't physics-based, not space-time or dimensions, but something else, like a haunting?
A supernatural explanation. It's often where these cases drift when conventional explanations fail so dramatically.
Could paranormal activity create a room or make one seem to exist?
Within that framework, the rules are different. An entity or force could theoretically manifest a space or alter perception to create the illusion of one. The impossible geometry, the void in the photo, they could be interpreted as hallmarks of something non-physical imposing itself on reality.
And Emily's disappearance.
In that scenario, she might have been taken by whatever force was present. The locked door becomes almost irrelevant if you're dealing with something that doesn't use doors.
But it felt physical. The engineer's experience, the furniture.
That's the challenge, reconciling the seemingly physical nature of the room with a potentially non-physical cause, unless the manifestation itself had physical properties.
Which loops us back to Emily herself. Was she just unlucky in the wrong place when reality glitched or another dimension brushed past?
Or was she somehow connected? It's the question that hangs over the whole case.
I mean, it wasn't just a room. It was her room, her personal space, packed with her life, her energy, maybe.
Could her presence, her consciousness, somehow have been the catalyst or the anchor? Did she trigger the event, or did the event target her specifically because it was her space?
If it was a glitch, maybe her presence stabilized it into a bedroom form. If it was a breach, maybe she was the key to opening it or keeping it stable.
Or if it was supernatural, maybe she was the focus, the target, or even unknowingly wielding some kind of influence. It shifts her from passive victim to potentially an active element in the phenomenon.
It makes the whole thing feel even more unsettling.
It certainly complicates the narrative. We prefer victims to be random, makes it less frightening. But the personal nature here, it's hard to ignore.
And the locked door. We keep coming back to it. It seems so simple, but...
But it seals the impossibility, doesn't it? No conventional exit.
So with the glitch theory, maybe the lock is just beside the point.
Yep.
The room itself was the event.
Possibly. For the interdimensional breach, same thing. If the exit wasn't in our dimension, a locked door here means very little.
And for the haunting idea.
Could be misdirection. Or irrelevant, as we said. Or perhaps it signifies she was trapped by the phenomenon, unable to leave through normal means before disappearing.
So we're left with this tangle. An impossible room, blueprints that lie, a photo of a void, and a missing teenager.
It's a collection of contradictions, really. Each piece of evidence seems to challenge another. The physical room versus the empty photo. The blueprints versus the lived reality.
It forces you to question what's possible, what we can truly measure and map.
Absolutely. It suggests the limits of our understanding, perhaps the limits of our reality itself.
Which leads to that final thought. Maybe some blueprints don't show everything. Maybe they can't.
Perhaps some aspects of reality are intentionally omitted from our maps, or maybe they're fundamentally unmappable with our current tools and understanding, things operating on different rules entirely.
Hidden spaces, hidden forces, things that exist just outside the lines we draw on our plans of the world. The Emily Carter case feels like a glimpse into one of those unrecorded spaces.
And a deeply disturbing glimpse. It leaves you wondering, what else is out there, just beyond the edges of our blueprints?